It was a natural birth. I mean, it just happened.
You're being recorded, brother. So clip that on and okay. Do it.
This part of talking. Well, looking at the group I've got here, this is going to be a tough crowd to do what I want to do today, but we'll see. Well, bear with me. It's going to start out kind of strange, all right? But it does have a purpose. But first of all, if I'm going to talk, I don't want to talk. So let me go to the Lord in prayer and come with me. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being in front of these people. They're your people. They're your children, and they want to hear from you. They don't want to hear from me. And Lord, you've got something you want to tell us. And I pray, Lord, that our hearts would be open and that these lips would be your lips, not mine, to share what you want to lay on their hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Bible conference. Hey, part of the Bible's in Greek, right? Maybe we ought to do some Greek studies to see what the Bible has to say in the Greek. So you're here for Greek class, folks. Okay? Last week, we were here. This is class. And you learned your alphabet in Greek. Does anybody remember your alphabet in Greek? Can you do it for me?
No.
Alpha, beta, alpha, gamma, gamma.
Okay.
Epsilon,
iota, kappa, lambda, mu, nu, rho, chi. Okay, it goes on. That's very important because you have to be able to use your lexicon. And your lexicon in the Greek is like your alphabetical dictionary, right? And so our Strong's Concordance has a lexicon in the back in Greek, right? And that helps you to know where the words are because you're going to be looking up your Greek words because you're going to be translating today. Okay? We're going to take the Greek and bring it into English. Okay? And you need to get out your Greek New Testaments, which you don't have. So I've got a few of these you're going to have to share. We're going to be looking and get out your Greek New Testament. Westcott and Hort would be a great one to make sure you've got your Westcott and Hort. Okay? That's the one that's the most earliest translations. Okay? Okay.
All right, thanks.
Okay. Let's see. Can you move up here and share with him? All right.
All right.
Bear with me, okay? I know. That's why I said this is going to be a rough class to do what I'm going to do here. You're in a bastion of higher learning. You're at a Bible college right now, and you came here to learn the Word of God, didn't you? Well, we're going to be looking in the Greek right now. And sorry, I didn't have enough to pass out everybody. And your assignment for next Monday, this is Friday, is to come back with John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, a good rendering of that text in the English language. Okay? All right. Now, we have some good renderings of those here that might give you some ideas what that might be like. Okay? And I've got markings here. So if you wouldn't mind, and somebody here wouldn't mind, and somebody here would mind, wouldn't mind, and somebody here wouldn't mind, and you can be one also. I've even got one more here. Okay, we're going to John 1:1-3, and if you would please tell me what those renderings are so it gives you an idea of what you might want to put in yours when you come back on Monday. Okay, could you read the first one here? This is somebody's rendering.
It says 1-3?
Yes.
In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him.
Okay, that's a rendering of that text that uses the Greek to look for those words. Okay, how about the next person back here?
The Good News Bible says, before the world was created, the Word already existed. He was with God, and he was the same as God. From the very beginning, the Word was with God. Through Him, God made all things. Not one thing in all creation was made without Him.
Okay, well, somebody thought those words were what the Greek had to say to them. So, okay. How about the next person back here?
I've got the Common English Bible.
Okay.
It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word's capitalized, so that's good, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God in the beginning. Everything came into being through the Word, and without the Word, nothing came into being.
Okay, got that. How about the, I believe that's the Amplified?
The Amplified.
Yeah, I think it's the Amplified.
And it says, in the beginning, and then in brackets, it says, before all time, was the Word, in parentheses, Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God Himself. He was present originally with God. All things were made and came into existence through Him. And without Him was not even one thing made that has come into being.
Okay. Does anybody else have the next one? Or would you like to... Okay.
I've got the Amplified Bible.
Okay.
It says, in the beginning, before all time, was the Word Christ. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God Himself. He was present originally with God. All things were made and came into existence through Him. And without Him was not even one thing made that has come into being.
Okay, thank you so much. Appreciate that. And do you happen to have it in another version over here?
This is the King James. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made.
Okay. Well, based on that, there are some differences, because Greek words are used differently. Perfect example, if you have your sheet and you can look on it, on the verse 3, which would be the last page, at the top of there, there's the word pantia and dia, or di. Dia is an article. That article is the word for by. Or if you look in your lexicon, here's the things that it could be. Dia in your lexicon is been translated in the Greek as through, by means of, because of, for the sake of, therefore, through, therefore, for this cause. All of those are good renderings of that Greek word, right? In the text. So when you're making your rendering, figure out which one you believe that God wants you to say is the English translation of that word when you come back on Monday. Okay? You guys are at Bible College. You came here to learn the Word. We're going to take you to the Word, and we're going to empower you and give you all the tools so that you can make a good rendering and a translation from the text. This is the best text we can get. We don't have the original, but it does contain the Word of God. Right? And we've got to figure out what it's saying to us in the English language. All right. Enough. Everybody put your junk away. How'd that make you feel?
I needed it dumbed down a lot.
Okay.
I was lost.
Okay. You came to Bible College so you could get unlost, because of higher learning is going to teach you what you need to know so you can be your own, take the Word of God and know what it says to you. Does that help?
Yes.
Okay. How does that make you feel?
Like we need you to tell us and to help us understand.
Okay, that's a good point. Anybody else? How else did it make you feel?
A little bit confusing.
A little bit confusing? Okay.
So we're at the mercy of knowing what all these Greek words mean, and you know.
But you have your lexicon to look them up. Right? Okay. A couple more minutes. Anybody else feel anything? What if you think you can get a handle on it? How would that make you feel? If you could actually think that you would know what the Word of God is saying, how would that make you feel?
Like I'm somebody.
Like you're somebody. You might be a little bit proud of the fact that, hey, I can read the Greek and I can tell you what it says, right? Does somebody feel that feeling? Maybe that might be a good thing to know. God wrote it in Greek, and if you could read the Greek and know the Greek, you'd probably know what he wanted said, right? So you might be a little pride involved. This is the introduction, folks. And it's the introduction to get you thinking, because this is what happened in Bible college to me, in Greek class, week number 2. Take 1 John 1 through 3 and bring back a good rendering of it based upon your lexicon and a Westcott and Hort New Testament in Greek. It took my Bible away from me. It didn't give me the Bible.
Amen.
All right? Sorry to take you through that, because I hate all those translations. I despise all those translations. There's a reason I don't have my Westcott and Hort here with me right now. I burned it. Okay? After KCBT. And I even got rid of my Greek lexicon, because the Strong's does what I want. I don't have to look it up that way. If I need to know what the Greek says, I'll go here, and I'm doing it for a different reason, not to translate it.
Yeah.
Okay? To understand how it might apply. I told you won't forget this class. You may not like it, but you won't forget this class. So you look at your feelings. One of them I brought up was pride. And what does God say about pride? Proverbs chapter 16 verse 18 said, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Right? God's not too happy with pride, whether it be in Bible college or it be in our lives. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 6 it says, "Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil." Right? The devil is the father of the children of... Say it, Dale. Say it out loud. Pride, right?
Pride.
And believe it or not, if you've never looked at this one, and it says it in the Bible, so I have to believe it, Proverbs 13:10, "Only by pride cometh contention." So why do we have so much contention over which version of the Bible that we should have?
Pride.
Somebody got proud of their translation. Didn't they? Enough to put it in a book and try to sell it to somebody. But with the well-advised is wisdom. Remember the rest of that verse. But with the well-advised is wisdom. And you want the wisdom of God, you will be well-advised. Not proud, but well-advised. And where are you going to find the wisdom of God? In His book. The one He puts His authority behind. The one He says is my word. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5b, it says, talking about submission, it says, "Submit one to another." And then it says, "And be clothed with humility. For what does God do? For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." The proper response to opening your Word of God, and even if you want to have to look into the Greek, or if you need to know what God says, is found in Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6 is where Isaiah, the prophet of God, had a good walk with God, didn't he? Up until this point. And then one day, he got into the presence of God. The very presence of God. And did he come up and say, "Hello, God, let me talk to you"? Verse 5 makes it very plain. "Then said I, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King." Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. "Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Woe is me." When Steve asked me to preach to you today, those are my thoughts. Woe is me, because I'm going to have my lips speak to you, thus saith the Lord. But I've been a fool a few times, so you don't want to hear from my lips, do you? Because what does he say about his lips? Here's the prophet of God who has been living for God all along. "I am a man of unclean lips. My words are not the words you need to hear." God doesn't want our words, not even our helpful words, to help God out. God wants His words in our lips. "Thus saith the Lord." And Isaiah had the right heart attitude. He didn't have any pride in the presence of God, did he? He had humble. As 1 Peter said, "For be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble." Isaiah was given much grace. If you want to learn a lot about prophecy and you want to learn about a lot of God's mind, read Isaiah. It's not an easy book, but you'll find out the virgin birth is in there. You'll find out the kingdom of God. You'll find out who Jesus is. You'll find out what he was going to do on the cross. You'll find out everything about it. Because God gave him grace because he had the right heart attitude. And God could give him his word and know it was in safe hands. Okay? When I speak with my lips, I speak with the flesh. And any time the flesh even speaks the word of God, apart from it being "thus saith the Lord" and any pride involved, I make it unclean. All right? What you have here that we read, and when my Dell wouldn't read it, were unclean words from the lips of the flesh. Okay? This is like currency. How many good dollar bills do we have in America?
One.
One, right? Because of the authority behind it, because it was printed by the authority and given to us by the authority, it has value and worth, and it's useful for what we need, right? What about all the P-notes and about all the other things? Doesn't matter which one they are, don't matter how good they are. A counterfeit is a counterfeit, right? Because it doesn't have the right authority behind it. Whose authority is behind that book? Or that one, or that one, or that one, or that one? They've got a copyright on it. Their copyright says it's mine. And I put my authority on those Bibles. God doesn't put a copyright on his. He says, "I am the author." In the English version, we have a translation, and God doesn't have to make multiple authorities. He gives us one, right? Same way in the Espanol, you have, what is the one? In Espanol, there is one good Bible. What is it called?
Biblia.
Yeah. The other ones, there are other translations, but they're not good? Okay. The point is, God wants to get His Word to His people. Because according to 2 Peter chapter... I'm quoting this off the top of my head. God is not willing that any should perish.
2 Peter 3:9.
But that all should come to repentance. So if God is trying to hide the Bible and doesn't want us to know, how would He be not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's just the opposite around. He wants us to have a book that he has put his stamp of authority on, that we can know that we can get saved, right? Because he wants us to be his children. He's not hiding it and then saying, oh, can you figure it out on your own? Oh, give me a good rendering of that translation so I can help my people get saved. When a man renders a translation or a meaning of God's word in his own words, no matter how well meaning, he makes the pure word of the Lord, Psalms 12:6. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, unclean by the flesh. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13. Oh, and while you're turning, I'll tell you a small story. In Genesis chapter 3, that little subtle serpent came up, sleeking up to Eve and said, what? Yea, hath God said? And what did Eve do? Did she repeat exactly what God said back?
No.
She put her interpretation of that and gave the translation. And what she said was, neither eat of it nor touch it. She added to what God said. And when she did, that was the flesh messing with the word of God. And what happened to her? And what happened to the human race? Because Adam said, I'm going to be with her instead of God. And I choose to go with Eve no matter what, even though it's going to go down the wrong way. Chomp. So the minute you add the flesh to the word of God, in any translation, it becomes unclean. And watch out for the subtlety of the pride that goes with it. In Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13, that, by the way, that's our center text for today. You may think I've already been preaching to you for a while, but this is, I finally got to where I wanted to be, all right? Wherefore, the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear towards me is taught by the precepts of men. What about these people? The children of Israel. Isaiah was talking about the children of Israel. A very religious people. Very religious. They showed up to church on Saturday, every Saturday, Sunday, whatever. And they went to the temple and did sacrifices. And they did it all. But they had a problem. They had a problem with their lips and their heart. Corazón and
boca.
Labios. La boca.
Labios.
Boca. Okay. God said, I'd love for you to worship me, but not with your words. Worship me with my words. You need help? Come to me with my words, not your words. And by the way, come in with the right heart attitude, not in pride. Anytime you lift up your own words, you're lifting up yourself. You become the authority. I like the way you said that. You need somebody to be your authority to tell you what the word says. And that's what the higher learning gives you. KLJC used to have the word for the day. Verse for the day. And it used to be in the King James Version. And then they switched to another version. And one day it was so bad, so far off, that I called him up and said, this is what it says in the King James. This is what you just said over the script, how can that be the same? And he's, Justin Dix said, you're right, that does not say the same at all. He said, I'll get back with you. So he calls Dr. Udd, head of languages at Calvary Bible College, and gets back with me about 6 hours later and says, according to Dr. Udd, That is a good rendering of the text also. So we're going to stick by it. And I said, you can stick by it, but I'm no longer going to support you from this time forth, because that is not the word of God that you're giving out over the airwaves. He heard the truth, but he made a choice for the wrong words, the wrong lips. Okay?
That's good, Rob. Thanks.
So when you have a wrong heart, you end up with the wrong words. Let's look at that wrong heart. According to Jeremiah 17:9, what does it say about our heart? Who can know it? You can't know your own heart. But who does? The next verse. Verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. When he looked at Isaiah and he saw that right heart, he says, I can give him the fruit of his doings, but I wouldn't give the fruit to Dr. Udd of his doings, except for consequences. Okay? Back to Isaiah. That's why he, when Isaiah said, oh, God said to Isaiah, and in the verses thereafter, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. And God said, okay. Why did God say okay to Isaiah and told him what to do from then on? Because he knew he could trust him with the word that he gave him to give it out directly what he said, and he did to the people of Israel for the next generation. And during that period of time, the next generation said, I don't want anything to do with it, because God told them, they're not going to listen to you. But Isaiah said, I'll do what you say, Lord, whether they listen to me or not. Okay? And he had some not so neat things that he had to do that God told him to do. Okay? But he did them because God told him to do it, and he did it to the letter. Because he had the right heart attitude. And God knew his heart and saw what was right. Okay? Who did God... Oh, that's... Now, the next part is the wrong words. Can he trust your heart to stay true and humble and pure? That's the question. Can he trust your heart? Would he be right in trusting you with his word? I'm going to have to cut through. No, I don't have to. I'm doing okay. We've already done that. Even true believers go to the wrong place for their answers, don't they? You may be... As well, I went to Bible college thinking I would get the training I needed. Because I had the right heart motive in going. But I went to the wrong place. So, remember what we've just said here in Isaiah chapter 29, and then flip the page. We're going to go to Isaiah 30. Okay? And I'm going to read you a passage from 1 through 16. This is Isaiah talking to Israel, but he's really talking to us. Okay? Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. Confusion, remember I asked how you felt? Shame and confusion? You feel bad now if you thought that was a good idea what we were just doing, right? We're going to have Greek class today. Oh, good! Not so good now, right? Sorry. I told you you wouldn't forget it. Whether you like it or not, you won't forget it. For his princes were at Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Hanes, cities of Egypt. They were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be in help, nor profit, but a shame, and also a reproach. The burden of beasts and of the south into the land of trouble and anguish, from whence come the young and old lion, the viper, the fiery serpent. They will carry their riches upon the shoulders of young asses, and their treasures upon the bunches of camels, to a people that they shall not profit them. They're going to take their money and spend it on what won't profit them. Okay? Going to Egypt, to the world. For the Egyptians shall help in vain, and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still. God's crying. Their strength is to sit still. Don't go to the world for your help. Be still and know that I am God. You'll find your answers from God and His book, not the world. Now go, write it before them in a table, and note it in a book. I love this part. That it may be for the time to come forever and ever. Why does God write it down? So it'll be forever and ever and ever. You can't misunderstand His word because it's written for you. In a book. It's got to be His book, not every book that somebody else added to or subtracted from or did something with. Okay? This is a rebellious people. God's a little upset with them. He says it again. Lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. He's telling them what's right. Isaiah's given it to them. But they say, oh, which say to their seers, see not. And to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us both smooth things. Prophesy deceit. We want to hear what we want to hear. There's a lot of churches out there today like that. We want to hear what we want to hear. They have thousands and thousands of members for a reason. Doesn't cost them anything to get what they want. Get out of the way. Turn aside. These are what the people are saying to their prophets. Out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel. I ain't going to cease from before you, no matter what. Because ye despise this word. Because ye despise this word. Because you despise this word. And trust in oppression and perverseness and stay thereon. Put your weight on that from the world. Therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. And he shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it a shred to take fire from the hearth, or to take water withal out of the pit. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel. For thus saith the Lord God. This is what God wants to say, not what these people want to say. In returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And ye would not. But ye said no. I'm going to stop there. But ye said no. You said no. I want what I want. Why do they say no? Pride. They get proud. Lifted up. Now I'm going to be able to do all of it. You said 15 after?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. I didn't know if I was going to get to one part of this or not. So I'm going to get to that part too. Yay. Did you notice he wrote it down for them? So they had the wrong heart, they had the wrong words, and they had the wrong teaching. They had the wrong teaching. He wrote it down, the right teaching, but they said, no, we want what we want. Don't teach us the truth. Teach us something smooth, something we don't have to mess with, or it doesn't bother us. It doesn't prick our conscience. We want something that caresses us into following Jesus. Is that what Jesus said? Take up your cross and follow me? No. Take up your cross and follow me. All right? The wrong teachings are a choice that we make. Words are forever written down for us in the Word of God. But we choose to decide what we want to choose to decide based upon our heart attitude towards God. And that's what we found in our passage back here. I'm going to read it again. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13. Wherefore the Lord said, "For as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear towards me is taught by the precepts of men." Fear towards me is taught by the precepts of men. We're teaching the wrong things based upon the precepts of men. What did God think of the precepts of men? Are my ways the same as your ways, God says? Or are my thoughts the same as your thoughts, God says? What does God say about His ways?
Much better.
They're higher than your ways. He even put it this way, and he's not saying that God is foolish, but the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. And the wisdom of God is then beyond, up there in the out there, right? And man thinks in his own wisdom that he can tell us what God wants. And he tries to. And a lot of times we follow man's wisdom. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit." Philosophy, the teachings of the world, the wisdom of this world, philosophy, the best that man has to offer, in its very best, is dung. Okay? But yet, we add the word Christian to philosophy. And we have Christian philosophers these days that teach on our airwaves, that teach in our colleges, that teach in our churches. And we call it Christian psychology. Have you ever heard that word said? They may be well-meaning, but what have they done? They've added to the pure Word of God, the flesh, and it became unclean. John chapter 7, verse 16 says, Jesus talking about His doctrine. Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but His that sent me." Even Jesus said, "I have a doctrine that's of the Father. I'm not going to even put out His own doctrine." He could have, because He's God. And He would have had the right doctrine, because He's God. But He, at the time, is subject to the Father, because He's here on earth. And He says, the Father's doctrine is all that matters, right? There's one doctrine that we need to follow. Only one. "If any man will do His will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh His glory that sent Him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness in him." These folks that have given you these Bibles, other than the King James Version, are speaking of themselves. And why do they put a copyright on it? They want the glory. They also want the glory when they stand up in the Bible colleges and Dallas Theological Seminary becomes the bastion for the New American Standard Version. That was back in my day. NASV. They said, it's a better translation. Why did they do that? Because of pride. Right? And then they started teaching the doctrine out of that Bible. Try teaching the Bible out of an NIV. Try teaching doctrine out of an NIV. You'll teach people that they have to get baptized to get saved. No. Baptism never saved you at all. King James Version makes that very plain. But your other translations don't make that plain. Matthew chapter 15, verse 7. If you happen to want to go there, that's fine. I would appreciate it. Matthew chapter 15, verse 7 through 9. This is what Jesus thought of that doctrine.
What?
Matthew chapter 15, verse 7 through 9. This is what Jesus thinks of man's doctrine. Even if it's biblical doctrine. Okay? Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you. Oh, we just read that passage, right? This people draw near unto me with their mouth, and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. That sounds like Isaiah. Oh, Jesus is quoting Isaiah. He had a teaching sermon just like I did today, and he was standing on, I don't know where he was at this point, sorry. And he wanted to get across to the people that there's a problem. Because, verse 9, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Philosophy. Vain deceit. Just like in that passage it said in Isaiah, they teach the fear of the Lord by, how's that put it? Let me quote it correctly for you. Teaching their fear towards me is taught by the precepts of men. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Yes, Dale?
What was that, sir, in Isaiah, the precepts of men, where was that?
The one in Isaiah says, their fear towards me is taught by the precept of men.
Yeah, I know, but what
verse 29:13. That's the problem is the precepts of men, and we're doing a Bible conference, and we need to make sure that we're giving out the Bible to people that's the right Bible, because they can go out to Zondervan or any Mardell's and buy a bunch of Bibles. So why in the world are we making Bibles? Why do we go to the trouble of making Bibles here at this church? Because we want to give out the pure Word of God to people. Now let's do it with a pure heart while we do it, okay? All right? And that's the point of this message. Lastly, turn with me to 2 Peter 1:20. Because this is what gave me back my Bible. 2 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to start with verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. Greek class did not give me my Bible at Bible college. This is what gave me my Bible. And what gives you your Bible. Now let's go to 17. Sorry, I got to back up. Let's go to 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. Cunningly devised fables. Doctrines of men. Philosophy. All those things. Deceit. We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitness of his majesty. For we received from God the Father, for he received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Wouldn't you like to hear God's voice thunder from heaven today? Be in the presence of God? You're in the presence of God right now, folks. This is the written Word of God, the living written Word of God. Do you fall before it like Isaiah did before the presence of God and say, oh, woe is me. I'm undone. I need some lip cleaning. For this voice came from heaven. For this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto we do well to take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart, knowing, and I'm going to get to that part in a minute, this is more sure word of prophecy that you hold in your hand. Remember, he wrote it down for them forever, so that they would have it forever back in Isaiah chapter 30. He wrote it down in a book. Wrote it down. Write it down, God told Isaiah, so that they can see it forever. He wrote it down for us so we can see it forever. And it's more sure than you if you heard the audible voice from God in this room today. So that gives me my book back. And then what kicks me in the behind for taking Greek class is the next verse. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man. Oh, this assignment is due on Monday. Give me a good translation rendering of that on Monday. And the will of man develops a good translation rendering for him on Monday in Greek class. The best I can do out of the Greek lexicon I have and my Greek New Testament. But holy, set apart, special, men with the right heart attitude that God can trust with the Word of God, men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Those translations are not moved by the Holy Ghost. Neither was my translation, or if you'd have taken that Greek and gone home and done my assignment that I gave you and done it on your own, that wasn't moved by the Holy Ghost. That was moved by your will. When God speaks, He tells His man of God what He once said. It's not man saying, oh, I want to find out what God says and I'll figure it out myself. See the difference? God doesn't need your help, no matter how well-meaning it is. God needs your submission and heart attitude so that you can give, thus saith the Lord, to a soul that needs to get saved. Right? All of this is talking about pride, right? We're going to be putting Bibles together. Think of your right heart attitude while you're doing it and what you have that you're offering to the world. Okay? Because I've got time to do the one I wanted. Satan is the father of pride, right? Pride doesn't start out in a young person. Does anybody know the Romans chapter 1 cycle? When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Pride starts out with knowing the truth. You start out knowing the truth. Remember, verses just before that in Romans chapter 1 talk about the invisible things are clearly seen. Even his eternal power and Godhead by what He's made. Man does not have the right to say they don't believe in God. But they do, because there is no atheist. There really is no atheist. Because they started out knowing God, but they made a choice. When they knew God, they... capital G. That's the choice that everybody, the father of pride, even Christians sometimes make when they decide, oh, I want to do my way and my thoughts. What we start out with is innocent. Then we realize that we're not innocent. We realize we're lost, and the minute we realize we're lost, we have a choice to make. yes, Lord, or no. Right? The fool hath said in his heart, you start out innocent, and if you say no, you become a fool. Right? What is a fool? Definition of a fool. Anybody got a good definition? I have a good one if you don't, but
Psalm 14:1 and Psalm 53:1.
What's it say?
The fool has in his heart, there's no God.
Uh-huh.
Corrupt are they.
Okay. That's his choice that makes him a fool. The minute you say no to God is the reason you become a fool. A fool knows the truth and chooses not to do it. They know the truth and they choose not to do it. So a fool knows and chooses not. There's... Yes, go ahead.
Definition of fool is lacking good sense or judgment.
That's pretty... When God tells you something and you're lacking some good sense and judgment, right? When you say, no, God, I'm going to do what I want, right? Remember what they said back in Isaiah? Don't prophesy to us. Don't tell us the things. We want smooth words. Don't get God out of our lives. But that's not the end of it, folks. A fool is not the end. Turn with me to one last passage, and I'm going to bring it to a close on this one. Proverbs 26, verse 12. This is what got me started even before he called me. This is where I've been living. Proverbs 26, verse 12. I've been a fool. Many times I've known what I should do, and I've done the wrong thing. You're not done for when you're a fool. There's hope for a fool. There's not hope for this next person. Proverbs 26, verse 12. Can anybody read that for me while I'm getting it? Proverbs 26, verse 12. Read it out nice and loud when you get it.
Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him.
Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? I don't know how to spell. Conceits. There is more hope of a fool. A fool still knows what's right, even though he's chosen wrong. He's got a chance to turn his back and repent, right? A man that's wise in his own conceit believes what he believes is right, even though it's dead wrong. And that's why Bible college is dangerous to those that become the children of the father of pride, because they become wise in their own conceits. And they'll fight you over their versions. They'll fight you over their doctrine. They'll fight you over that because they believe, and they really believe, that they're giving you the truth. Because they have set themselves up as their authority, not God. Because they have a prideful heart. Any questions?
I'll give a few closing remarks for us.
All right. There's some, look up wise in their own conceits. There's two places else in the Bible that really will give you a place on that. Okay.
Well, thanks, Lois. So.
Just don't come to Bible conference wise in your own conceits.
Yeah.
Okay.